Hello, everyone, and welcome to this weekly episode of Flats and Shanks. I'm Tom Shanklin.
I'm David Flatman.
Back to the original.
Hey. No, I would. No, I always did.
Who? Yeah, well, we took it. Well, you probably did the first 20 because you're a control freak, but then because you're ill one day, you let me do it.
Yeah.
Never look back.
It's not the same.
Can I just say one thing?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say a few things, but first off, the main point is that if you listen to this, make sure you're also downloading the ITV and STV Six Nations podcast, because that's where you're going to get all the international action and chat.
Guests and all that.
Yeah, this is going to be quite a short one.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes short and sharp's nice, isn't it, Tom?
Sometimes I like to go into the gym and just blast out 10 minutes. That's it.
We used to do this test called the Leeds test. Do you ever do that?
Whereabouts did you do that, mate?
If I was French, I'd say it was... Oh, we did it up north.
Yeah.
If I was... did it in a castle in Kent. Did it at Scotland Yard, actually. Just following Leeds. But if I were French, I would say it was horrendous, because it was horrendous. Mm. It was... The thing is, when you describe it, it doesn't sound that bad, but I challenge any of our listeners who've never done it, I bet loads of them have, because they're keenos, to do a Leeds test, either on a watt bike or a rower, an ergo, the Concept 2. Go as hard as you can for 30 seconds, gold medal pace for 30 seconds, then 30 off. Do that 6 times.
You're pretty good at doing a real short, intense row, because I've seen your figures come through, because you're pretty good at pulling.
But
you've got a strong back, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But for some, I've weird...
This is weirdly what I find attractive in women.
And potential pets / prisoners. But I can't reach the windows. I used to row a bit. We all did, didn't we, when we were playing for training and stuff. And for someone who's got stumpy arms and stumpy legs, I've got, this is not a humble brag, it's just a brag, I've got incredibly close to the national record of 500 metres on the ergo.
Mate, you're powerful. I wouldn't say pocket rocket, because...
I'm not tiny, I'm 20 stones, that's not tiny, is it?
But for short distances, well, you've got to be, haven't you? That's your USP.
I tell you who's really, really good on the rower, who puts me in the shade. Oh, not Steve Redgrave, not that I'm anything special.
Matthew Pinson.
I'd do them over 500.
Tom James.
I'd do them over 500, I bet you.
Okay. Who?
Tom Wood.
Really?
Northampton flanker. Wolgers.
I've started doing a few rowing sessions in the gym now.
Have you?
Shall I tell you what I've been doing?
What?
5 minutes on the rower. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes on the bike, 4 minutes on the rower, 4 minutes on the bike, all the way down to guess what? One.
Then back up, yeah?
The first time I started that, I had it in my head that was what I was going to do, but halfway through the first 5 minutes, I just knocked it down to four.
Yeah.
Yeah, just cut 10 minutes off straight away.
You're retired now, boy.
Well, no, I
you get out 10 minutes early,
I forgot I had a meeting with Costa, with a Cortado.
Oh, with a millionaire shortbread. I don't do any... Do you know what? I've only worn it a couple of times ever, but I've got like a heart rate monitor that I found, you know, a polar thing that you never wear if you're not actually training, but like if you're not a pro, but I wore it in the gym, just wondered what my heart rate was.
Mm.
And I'm just doing weights and my heart rate was really high, like a good aerobic, anaerobic heart rate. So I just think that means I don't have to do cardio ever again. Walk my dogs for 45 minutes a day and lift weights.
I've got a watch on, a Garmin watch, not plug at all, but it tells me everything on there, steps, heart rate, the lot.
Stress.
I was checking out my heart rate before and stress levels before I went in for the vasectomy.
I know, and you sent us pictures.
A little bit high.
Was it?
Yeah.
You a bit nervous, were you?
Tiny bit. You know, you're always nervous with the unknown. I've had quite a busy week.
Hang on, sorry. What have you been up to, fella?
I've had quite a busy week. I went down to the Six Nations launch.
Oh, yeah, you did,
Wednesday,
didn't you?
To the Hurlingham Club. Wow, uber nice, exclusive.
Yeah.
Fit right in there, me.
Second home, innit?
Yeah. And I went with the BBC and I wasn't quite sure what I was doing. I thought I might be sat down interviewing the players and coaches as they come round. So I thought it was going to be quite serious, you know, talking through the squads, who's fit, who's not fit, their chances, etc.
Fit looking?
The women were there as well.
Oh, Tommy.
I get there basically I've got a roaming mic. I've got a cameraman who's sometimes on me, sometimes not. And I've just got to try and pull players and coaches to the side and have a quick chat with them.
That's not an easy gig, that.
And be funny. That was the last thing.
That's not easy.
Just be funny. I was like,
yeah.
All right. I've had no prep. I've not thought of anything. So I remember a chat with Sergio Parise. He was the first one. I think he had to Google me before. No, of course he didn't.
Of course he didn't.
I said, Sergio, what's it like chatting to me now? Like looking in the mirror.
Sorry.
Yes. But it was really good. Like,
come on.
Conor O'Shea, Sergio, Greg Laidlaw. I managed to get them all.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so apart from Eddie Jones.
Why didn't you get him?
No one wanted to go up and ask him.
Really?
Well, I had Owen Farrell.
Yeah.
I said to him, I mean, I don't want to spoil a piece for you. I'm sure you'll all download it and watch it after you've downloaded the ITV STV podcast.
Yeah.
I said, I played at Saracens back in the day. Are they still talking about me? But my point is, like, if I had a bit of time to think, you could have asked him some real good questions. Like, I was thinking on the car on the way back. I was thinking,
you bet you have some great ones. Yeah.
Why didn't I ask him, like, right, you got Ireland first off, you put your kit on, you walk in through the tunnel at the Aviva Stadium to go out and practice your kicking, you bump into your dad, what do you say?
Yeah.
But,
yeah, all right. All
you know, right. That's my life, really.
All right.
Could have, should have, would have.
Yes, yeah, so you had the story.
Probably write a song about that one day.
Yeah. Last words of Alfie lookalike.
So then, Friday, I went up on an early flight, 7 o'clock flight to Dublin to cover Leinster v the Scarlets.
Oh, right. Okay.
Early flight, which was good because you get an early check-in. And then
yeah.
I just blitzed a little bit of Netflix. Have you watched Fire?
Oh, no, can't wait though. I literally put it on my Netters list last night.
We've all got a mate like that. Like, I've forgotten his name now, McFarlane.
Just a charlatan. Just an absolute fake.
I mean, I've got Rhys Blumberg. That's my mate.
Yeah.
Sell you the dream.
But these people so often go all right. Like, Blum's had proper jobs and that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can't even remember this guy's name now. McFarlane's surname. But he is the type of guy that's going to go through, I think, 3 or 4 failed ventures, and then he's going to make it. But the only problem that he's got is that he just conned so many people out of so much money for this festival.
Yeah.
You know, promising them gourmet food, and they come with a bit of bread and cheese in a box, promising them...
Don't ruin it for me, boy.
I'm not. Promising them... Well, you know what happens, don't you?
Well, yeah. But...
Promising them luxury accommodation, and they get hurricane tents. But... It's unbelievable watch. Make sure you get into that.
Apparently, who was it last night? Said it. Somebody tweeted about it and said it is a physically, it might have been Dom Day or someone, physically uncomfortable to watch.
Yes, I would agree with that.
But I tell you what I did watch this week, and oh my God. I still feel like a bit weird when I think about it. The Bross documentary.
Yes.
Mate. Yes. Fella. Pal. Mate, that honestly... I never know which one's which. I don't want to be that guy. Let's not cast aspersions, but they are both...
Billy McFarlane,
there you go. They are both Luca Matgoss challenged, you would say, in terms of overall stability and psychological balance. Then you would say the one, not the drummer, who's the drummer?
I think it's Matt.
Matt. The guy who's not the drummer, the singer, the lead singer, I never know which one's which. I think it feels reasonable to say...
Matt's the lead singer, Luke is the drummer.
Yeah, so Matt was off his tits the whole time.
I look at those two and I really enjoyed it. It was very David Brent and very awkward to watch.
It was more David Brent than David Brent.
But it's... You can imagine those two like fighting over for the affection of their mother. You know, both want to be the alpha male. One is... Obviously, Matt is the band leader. But then you've got... Luke then keeps trying to justify his place there.
Yeah, really, really insecure about it.
Really insecure.
So sad.
But then Matt seemed quite a control freak, so it was quite difficult. Did you see the awkward argument they had when Luke wanted to try something again?
Yeah.
From the drums, and then Matt wouldn't let him, and then it was very, very strange. And they can't let things go either, can they?
They looked at a picture of someone's concert or an idea, design idea for the concert, and it was like, oh, they look like real, they look like real lights, not just CGI. And it's like, they are real. What? Yeah, they're real lights. And that's it. Completely lost his...
Gone.
Lost the plot.
Gone.
No, you've pissed me off now.
But it was so much good stuff in there. So much good content. They're talking about Conkers.
I know. That's State of Britain, isn't it? Broken Britain.
Yeah.
I honestly can't believe people like that are out. Not the people that are out there. Everyone's out there. Watch the Ted Bundy tapes. Jesus, there's everything, all sorts out there. But people are out there and aren't, I don't know how better to put it, on the edge and living on street corners. Like, how can you be that imbalanced and still have a house and a car and a job? Like, amazing, good on them. But they...
I actually forgot how big they were back in the 80s.
Me too. I didn't quite have a grasp on that.
Obviously, we heard of them, and you used to put the bottle tops in your boots.
What?
Yeah. Wear a white T-shirt and denim jacket.
What bottle tops? What's that?
They used to put bottle tops. The Newcastle Ale bottle tops. You know, the ones, you flick them off the top.
Yeah? Put them in your boots?
Yeah, that's what they used to do. Ross used to do
that. I don't get it. Put them in your boots. What do you mean?
On your laces. Just tie them to your laces.
Did they?
Yeah. Didn't know you're from Stately Home, mate. You wouldn't do that, would you?
I'm from Maidstone, Kent, mate. And I remember ringing my mate Toby Wilson. No, Daniel Bokes it was. I rang Bokesy on Christmas Day. It was either Bokes or Toby. I can't remember. Saying my main present for that Christmas was... This is how posh we were. My main present from Father Christmas was the new Bros tape. And I rang him and said, this is my main present. And I couldn't believe it. I don't remember any other presents from my childhood, almost. A bike.
Platinum and framed.
A Scalextric and a Bros tape. That was it.
Yeah. So that was an unbelievable documentary. But... I know we've just had a chat off air, but you've been watching the Ted Bundy tapes as well.
Ted Bundy, my God.
We used to call Ben Blair Ted Bundy.
Oh, I saw it. That's where I got it from. You put something on Twitter. Can't wait to hear Ben Blair's story.
Because he introduced me to a book called The Iceman, which is about Richard Kulkinski. And that's a really good book. It's about a serial killer, a hitman for the mob that they used back in the day. And Ben Blair used to love anything to do with murderers. And he actually looks a little bit like Ted Bundy, so
and behaves Ted. Like him, and he kills in a very similar way.
Great player,
from what I've heard. Yeah,
top point scorer still at the Blues, I think. But it was, I didn't realise. Now, spoiler alert. So, if you don't want to know what happens, I'm sure you all know.
Don't spoil it too hard, mate.
Okay, but
because I've only seen 1.5 eps.
Okay,
don't spoil it for me. Just why don't you just FCUK STFU?
Just. Blank yourself out your mind for a minute and just go to that happy place. But I can't believe he escaped twice.
But, you know, that's El Chapo for you, isn't it? I read this book years ago and I keep trying to... Well, I keep trying to think. I could just Google it, but I can't be arsed. But it was about a mafia enforcer, basically hitman, who went around and did the killing and the filling in for... mafia. I think it was in New York, it was in Brooklyn or something like that.
So it's not the Iceman, is it?
No, it wasn't that. Because that name didn't ring a bell when you said it. It was what made me think of it. But if anyone knows what it is, tweet us or Insta or something.
Well done, mate. You've really narrowed that down.
No, but once I've explained it. But okay. It was about a hitman. It's the same old story, really, except that he wasn't one of those guys just without a conscience who basically a psychopath who could just kill 30 people, torture them, get information or don't get it, kill them anyway, don't care about their kids, that sort of stuff. This guy really enjoyed killing. So the mafia bosses in the end were like, you need to calm down a bit.
Yeah.
And in the end,
hobby.
In the end, the bosses were so scared of him that they decided to have him killed, have him whacked. Except it didn't work because he found out about it. And one of his buddies said to him, look, you're getting whacked. So he turned up and killed everyone. So there were 6 guys who were put aside to kill him and whatever. And he's just going to a normal meeting at this diner, walks in, diner's empty. It's like, hang on a minute, something's not right. This must be the time they're doing it.
What era?
Gun, bang, bang, bang. 70s, just 80s. 6 months ago. No, I don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. But he killed everyone, and then all the mafia bosses went into hiding because this guy loves killing. And it's like, well, actually, he's not scared of dying. He loves death. So it's quite an interesting one, actually.
We have to have a little shout out to Tommy Bow. Listens to the podcast, does a lot of driving. Now work. He's fronting Ear Sports in Ireland, so he's the main anchor for the coverage out there.
The main what?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He's leading the show.
Oh, good on him. And hiya, Tommy.
Had a couple of drinks with him after the game. Tommy Bow, guess what his favourite drink is?
Is it cheap cider? Is it White Lightning?
With a bit of blackcurrant in. No, we had a couple of pints of Guinness.
Cool, but it also tastes different over there, doesn't it?
Does. It's brewed in an island as well.
Oh, I got a taxi.
Someone tweeted us, it's brewed in an island.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not. They closed the brewery down.
Brewery. It's a hard word, that. It's like down. Jewelry.
But just while we're on Guinness quickly, make sure you get on the Guinness Pint Predictor. And that is on Match Pint.
Guinness Match Pint, Match Pint Guinness, yeah.
And join the Flats and Shanks League. It's a score prediction throughout the Six Nations, and you can win free drinks and reclaim them at your local pub. It's amazing.
You get a little text on your phone and you've won a pint, and you go to the pub and your pint of Guinness is gratis. It's gratis to join it. You may as well do it.
The
frankly.
Guinness Pint Predictor. Matchpint.co.
I was in a taxi the other day and this driver said, no, this isn't a joke, by the way. You know, I just said to you, it tastes different over there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's one of those really unoriginal things you say. You know, when you ask a taxi driver, what time are you knocking off and that sort of stuff, especially if he's fit. But he was like, so, what do you reckon the old Brexit stuff then? And I said, we really going there? He said, well, can't they just still get it sorted? You know what I mean? Arguing like school children. And I'm looking at the other lads in the taxi, Matt Powers, and looking at the lads in the back. And I was like, is this guy for real? And Si Williams was in there, like, you know, Si. And I was like, is this guy for real? He goes, well, you know, I just got to, it's, you know, it's, what, they're just behaving like children and get it sorted out. And so I thought to myself, I'll give it a second. Because I just didn't want to engage at all. I was like, I can't be bothered. And I don't know enough. And I don't want to be that guy. So I was just like, I said, what do you think we should do? So what are the main issues with Theresa May's deal for you?
Why don't you call Andy Goode?
Yeah, I should have called Goode, yeah. Political correspondent. But I was like, what are your views on the Theresa May deal? Like, what amendments would you make? Well, I felt like, you know, what's his name? I've completely forgotten his name now from LBC, London's LBC Radio. He's brilliant.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
James O'Brien. Just genius, that guy, I think. And so does everyone else, I think.
I thought you can say Dimbleby.
Yeah. So I was like, Jimmy Nesbitt. So I just said, what amendments would you make then to the proposal? He's like, well, it's got to be a plan B. I was like, yeah, but okay. But what amendments would you make to plan A? What would you change about plan A? He was like, just, do you know what? You used to be able to trust them. I was like, yeah, I know. What bits don't you trust? And he's like, yeah. You rugby boys, are you? Yeah, Six Nations coming up, isn't it? I was like, here we go. You haven't got a clue, mate. Stop pretending you have.
Reading the sun of you, mate.
Yeah, like you.
Have you
absolutely
seen how many countries are bankrupt in Europe?
How many?
Loads.
Oh,
loads.
You're reading Germany the sun again,
the
have brink. You?
No, I just saw a stat the other day. Not much money. I do have to little shout out to a man called Stu Gills. Bumped into him in Birmingham after one of the.
Was his dad a fisherman?
One of the.
Was his mum a chef? Walters. Was his mum a cook? Stu Gills.
One of the Robert Walters events we did in Birmingham. So he loves a podcast. So
Gilsy.
Yeah, well done, Gilsy.
He's a good lad, actually. And I tell you what, since
hope that helps, all right?
Since he got out of prison and went straight, he's doing really well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he? I mean, well. It's like, oh, they call it armed robbery, but they, you know, you got no idea what situation he was in and what provoked it. But I mean, he is effectively a convicted criminal. So. Yeah. Did we get to what you've been up to?
Yeah, what have you been up to?
Oh, not a lot. Well, I did something controversial last week.
Shooting?
Yep.
Knew it.
Clay pigeons.
Well, how's that controversial?
It's not. I was just winding you up.
All right.
You had a very nice time.
If you eat them, I've got no problem with it. I'm talking about live game now.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
What the kind of shooting, not that you're interested, the kind of shooting I'm not into is
lions,
thousand bird days, and trophy hunting. Obviously no one should be into that, because if you're into that you're a prick. But then it's thousand bird days where you can't load quick enough. You just, and even if they get eaten, it just feels gross. Like, and there are some shoots, I think it came out in the paper a while ago, there are some shoots where they don't get eaten, they get buried or burned or whatever.
Yeah.
Where I went, they all get picked up by game dealers and chefs and restaurant buyers and stuff. So at that, I feel okay about that side of it. But
can
then,
I come when you go next go? I'm yeah. really good at it. Generally.
I bet you are, yeah. I bet you actually are.
I've got a nice barber wax jacket I want to wear as well.
Yep, perfect. And you've got to find a place to wear it. So I got this amazing, you know, you love getting kit. In the end, I went down a Google rabbit hole about a year ago, and it was like, right, I want the best shooting jacket there is. And there's like this musto technical shooting jacket.
Yeah.
And I mean, weirdly, because they say kit, you know, workmen and tools and all that. Since I've always been a really crap shot, but I enjoy the social because it's slow gin every 20 minutes and it's loads of food. It's wicked. And champers. It's a wicked day. But everyone's in wicked old Land Rovers and I love all that. So it's kind of, I like that scene. But then since I started wearing a better coat and some like swanky wellies, I literally am hitting more.
Feel the part.
I'm going to get good. I'm going to get a gun.
I like shouting stuff for the clays. So you're going to shout pull. I don't.
Bet you wouldn't, would you?
No. Shout other stuff.
Like what?
Hello?
Hole?
Dull?
Yeah. I mean, it's in that sense, it is great fun.
Makes me laugh. Like for on Friday night for the game.
Yeah.
Obviously, the commentator starts off, doesn't he, talking through the teams and the kickoff, and then he throws to you, doesn't he?
Yes.
And deep down inside, it just makes me laugh every single time. I just say, hello and good evening, everyone.
Yeah.
It just gets me.
Yeah.
Ross Harris picked up on it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Called me Richard Benoit, but...
Was he? Clive does that as well. Clive Whipper does that.
I love it, though. It really tickles me on the inside. Yep, good evening. Hello, everyone. Welcome.
Lowell does it sometimes.
I know. I love it. Just little things. So you've been shooting.
Clive does it because it's his thing and he's classy. Lowell is classy, but Lowell, because he might be the third person to speak in a room, doesn't matter whether he wants to or not. He owns the room.
Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. Because he's the main attraction. It's not that he knows it. He just is.
He probably literally does own the room.
Yeah, he probably does, yeah. So I did that, and then you shoot for one day, you need two nights away, but stay with a lovely guy, and I love some lovely guys, and a really good time, a few blooming beers. But I had a couple of meetings on Thursday in London, but then I did a lunch at the In-N-Out Club, which is sort of a military, one of these posh gentlemen's clubs.
Were you there long?
Nah, I just popped it in. But that was for the Health and Vitality Awards, Footprint Media. But they're basically, Charlie Myers is a posh git that I know through Mark Durden Smith. So one day, posh Durders couldn't host a lunch.
Yeah.
So his posh mate, he's even posher than Durders. Posh Charlie called me and said, Flatters, can you do a lunch for us, old boy? And I thought, this guy's got to be 80. He's like my age. He's like our age.
Oh, amazing. Frilly.
And the best thing was that one of his bloody bespoke Savile Row suits had ruddy well split on the arse. So when I got there at the lunch there, his ruddy undercarriage was hanging out. So that took some bloody fixing. But we had I've done it the last few years. It's really, really good fun. And who better to host the Health and Vitality Awards on St. James's Square in London than...
Man, it's grossly...
A 20-stone man whose red meat consumption is equivalent to 8 people, drives a supercharged V8 petrol 4x4, and...
Doesn't walk anywhere.
His BMI is so high, can't get health insurance, private health insurance. So just fingers crossed, hope the NHS.
The only exercise he gets is a long poo.
Yeah, exactly it. Yeah, well, I can get a sweat on having a poo.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, and then a couple of meetings. I actually went to Michelle's house in Kent. Went to see Mish in Kent because my folks are down there. So I popped
Never
in there.
Never been invited.
Had a few hours down there. It was, do you know what, Tom? It was bloody lovely. It was lovely. And I took my little daughter, had a friend to sleep over last night. They went to bed really, really well. They were allowed to stay up a bit late, went to bed really, really well. And then I woke up at about 1 a.m. and this weird thing where I realised I'd forgotten to brush my teeth at 1 a.m. So I got up to brush my teeth.
Because the devil will get you.
Yeah, yeah, we'd get in trouble. Because Uncle Buck can test your toothbrush, can't he? So I went and brushed my teeth and I heard this little bitches still awake, 1 a.m.
3 times you swear now, mate, careful.
Bitches are female dogs, that's what my daughters say. Morning, bitch. Like, you can't say that.
Stop
female dog.
It.
Oh, you're a female dog? Oh, sorry. Anyway, so not a lot of sleep went on. So this morning, you know when your kids haven't slept, it's like they're horrible.
Yeah.
So it's like, right, straight to the swimming pool in Bath, bit of lunch, dump, done.
Tire them out.
Yeah, tire them out and leave them to someone else, ideally.
Rugby-wise, Premiership wasn't on this week, was it?
No, so it's a funny one because it's a Prem Rugby Cup weekend.
It used to be the Anglo-Welsh and... Tommy Shanks will have a little bit of work.
Yeah.
But doesn't anymore, does he?
No. Butchered your career, that, isn't it?
Killed it.
Even though you're a Prem legend as well, they seem to forget that. They're very quick to forget, aren't they? But it's round
and to pay
whatever it is, six of the Prem Rugby Cup, and yeah, half of those games, three of the six games were played this weekend, and three of them weren't played later. So it's like, that's actually a bit of an odd one, that, isn't it? But it meant that we could have a bit slightly more relaxed weekend,
which I suppose are very limited for you.
But very limited.
You're making the most of it. I can just tell by the way you're sitting.
Yeah.
That you've got no socks on.
Yeah.
You're really at ease with yourself. You're comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah. I'm like a Norwegian billionaire architect without the skills or money.
Well, can I talk to you a little bit about rugby? Because I covered the Leinster Scarlets game. Now, Leinster are pretty decent, no matter what team they put out.
Mm.
First, seconds.
Thirds, fourths.
Under 15s, 16s. They've got a couple of real good centres. Conor O'Brien and O'Loughlin as well. Roy O'Loughlin, quite unlucky, I suppose, not to get in the Irish squad.
Some decent boys.
But they're just really well coached, aren't they? And, you know, the Irish schools, the Leinster schools, loads of players coming through there.
Mm.
Often have to leave Leinster now to go onto other clubs. But the Scarlets could have and probably should have won.
What?
I know. So nothing really much happening at half time. Leinster are winning 10-0. They score towards the end. It's a pretty big win there. But second half starts. Paul Asquith playing on the wing, Australian from the Aussie Sevens circuit. Scarlet signed him. He's been a real good signing for him. Intercepts.
No.
Runs all the way from the halfway line. Dives in the corner. He's not tackled. He just dives in the corner to score a try. I think, brilliant. Scarlets are back into it. Ref has a look at the TMO replay.
Yeah.
He's dived just a little bit early, hoping to slide in. Before he's reached the line, the ball is, because the ground is so hard, has been knocked on.
Oh, no.
He's regathered it and gone over the line. No try.
Oh, no.
I've not seen that for a long time. No. I can't remember the last time I saw that. No. We saw, obviously, the Freddie Burns one where that gets popped out of his hand. But he's obviously under a bit of pressure, but no one's tackled him. He's just gone too early, hoping to slide in. But the ground's so hard, he's just bumped and fumbled the ball a little bit, then regathered it and gone over. So
no glidey, no slidey.
From a distance, it looks like a try, but it wasn't. Then you have Dan Jones misses a kick right in front of the posts. Near enough.
Yeah.
Hardy scores for Scarlets a couple of tries. Looks really good. Johnny McNichol is just wonderful at 15.
Isn't he? Yeah.
Just glides when he runs with the ball. Often beats so many defenders.
Yeah.
Doesn't look strong, but just does. And then right at the end, I'm trying to think who it is that makes a break. It might have been, I can't remember who. One of the Scarlets players makes a break. And I think it might be McNichol or Asquith. But there's Hardy's on the inside, but it's the 80th minute. The clock's gone red.
Mm.
Hardy, the scrum half, has got nothing in him whatsoever. Had he had a little bit extra right in the tank, he could have kept up. The pass inside would have sent him over and the Scarlets would have won the game. But
what a win that would have been.
Leinster sort of gave him a bit of a lesson on taking their chances. They're loads of ball, but didn't quite do it. Daly was really good on the wing for Leinster. I think he was a top try scorer last year. And Lowe on the wing as well. James Lowe.
Yeah, what a player.
Yeah. You know, you give him a one-on-one.
Yeah, game over.
It is.
But he looks for work as well.
Yeah.
He puts himself about so much. Good defender.
Really does. Benetton drew with Ulster. 17-0.
Yeah.
Now, that's a team that's coming good.
They're getting there, aren't they?
I mean, most of the players now in Ireland are coming from Ireland and are playing in Ireland. I'll say that again. Most of the players in Italy, in the squad, in the national squad, are playing in Italy now.
Yeah.
So you're getting the benefits of that in the league. And I know we've hammered the Irish teams, Italy teams a fair bit. It begins with an I, that's what's killing me. But they are getting stronger.
But these Israeli teams are just... these Icelandic packs.
Dragons Munster was a classic, 8-7.
Oh, no thanks.
But Southern Kings...
Yes.
Have you seen the try?
Yes.
It's by Penix.
What a try.
I think Penix. Unbelievable try.
What a try.
Was he offload a little bit forward?
No, don't say that.
No, okay, I won't.
But what's the guy's name that makes a break and gives the offload? Anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. What
Bander?
An athlete. What an athlete.
No, it wasn't Bander.
What a specimen ripping through the middle there. Jeepers. Yeah.
I'm not sure. Rakua, maybe. Couldn't tell you. But yes, real gas as well, real pace to finish that off. Love seeing that. And Edinburgh, they've hit some massive form recently as well. You know, qualifying for Europe.
Yeah.
Doing the double over Glasgow.
Yeah.
And then come unstuck against the Southern Kings. It was a great result for them.
Yeah. But then you see what Edinburgh are doing in Europe and you kind of expect them to win that. Don't you? You
set a bit of momentum. Obviously, these teams are hit a lot harder from internationals being away.
Yeah, but when you see, you wouldn't expect Leinster to then go and lose, would you? Just kind of a club in better health in terms of depth. Oh, but yeah, Edinburgh doing great stuff, and I really like that. And it's also, it's not about Richard Cockerell, solely about Richard Cockerell, but it's quite a nice story, isn't it?
The weather was pretty poor this weekend. The Blues beat Connor 8-7, similarly to
Lush,
Munster and the Dragons game. One thing that you have to pick out from that game was the finish by Owen Lane.
Yeah.
He's back. He's been injured a few times with various niggles, but the way he finishes off that try, how he gets off the ground, it's a lovely little break off the back of the scrum by Lloyd Williams and draws in. You know, when the wheel goes, the scrum half comes round, the winger has to step in, create a natural overlap, and the finish by Lane is... Not many people can do that.
Yeah, it's mega.
There's a few, obviously, there's quite a few wingers out there that can, but what I'm saying is like your average mill, run of the mill winger will not finish that. He does. It's fantastic.
Run of the wing Miller. But there's so much competition, it seems, for him. Is he going to.
There is a lot of competition.
Is he going to get a nudge? Get a run?
It's like anyone of his standard and level, you just need to stay fit for long periods. You can't play well for 4 to 6 weeks, then miss a month, then
expect
come back
to get a load of caps.
You know, there needs to be a little bit of stability in the amount of times and games you play and staying injury free. That's the only issue. But that's just professional sport though, isn't it? So,
but also you're going into things like World Cups, and I think
it's a lot easier for someone like George North who can play a string of games, get injured, then come back because people know the pedigree, people know how well he is. He's got credit in the bank.
But he's only got that because he stayed fit for a very long time.
Yeah,
so he proves the rule.
Yeah.
But then you start talking about campaigns like World Cup campaigns, and you including the prep, you need to be durable to get through that.
Hugely.
Most guys, of course, do get through it. But I always think an interesting one will be someone like Sam Underhill, who is a clear open side selection for England. He's one of, if he's not first choice, he's very close to it. So he clearly goes to the World Cup if he's fit.
Yes.
But if it comes down to really close choices, there's not a lot between him and Curry. And then you start thinking, well, doesn't play any other positions. That's one thing. But also, he hasn't yet, as far as I'm aware, since he signed for Bath, put a load of games together and stayed fit. So you start thinking, well, actually, we're going to put all this time into this guy. And are we confident he's just not going to break halfway through the World Cup and have to get someone else in who hasn't played or hasn't done the systems and hasn't done the prep? So I guess you then start taking extra players through all the prep and, it becomes a bigger operation because being durable and being fit is actually more useful than being good half the time, I think, being the best half the time.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty deeply about this, yeah.
Well, on that deep, insightful, thoughtful note...
You've got tears in your eyes.
We'll call it a day. Make sure you get on the Flats and Shanks ITV, STV podcast, download it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic. We've got some great guests on all the way through this series. It's the second series we've done. I don't know if you knew that.
They knew that. They knew that. Six Nations time, innit? Get on it.
And it's the big boys.
Good luck, yeah.
Bye.